masterfully composed and tonally strong drama that captures the same unsettling vibe which bewitched fans of the docuseries. That's from Wenlei Ma of News.com talking about The Staircase, our featured review. It is a limited series available on HBO Max starring Colin Firth, Toni Collette, Michael Stuhlbarg, and many others. Found it riveting so far. Big news, though, of course, if you're a real nerd, you love Obi-Wan. That's right, Obi-Wan Kenobi, currently available on Disney Plus. Seen the first three episodes of that. And for our old file, we're watching Draft Day. That's right, Kevin Costner, 8-year anniversary. I'll explain why specifically we are doing Draft Day this time around. A pleasure to be back with you as always. A pleasure to be with my buddy Chris Cody. Cody, how was the week? What's going on? Everything good?
We're doing all right, man. We're doing all right. How are you? I saw your kids running around. You're having a dad. Is this a dad day at home for you?
Yeah, I mean, this is the point now. Preschool is done, and like the big school, meaning elementary and middle school, is done as of next week. So it's different in Florida, right? You guys are done school, I feel like, June 1st. We go to like mid to late June.
Yeah, it's all over the place. Some schools are done, but some are ending this week, I think.
Well, the big news for all of us here on the East Coast is the weather was spectacular this past weekend. It was, you know, 79 degrees, sunny.
Spectacular. Speak for yourself. We had a tropical storm.
Well, this is what I want to get into. We all headed to the beach here because this is our time. But I feel like this is where our climates do not agree with each other. Like, no. For us, we are running to the beach June, July, August. For you, you grew up at the beach. Like, how many times did you go to the beach as a kid?
I went to the beach a lot, especially around the 4th of July. My family had a tradition where we'd get like a hotel room down by the beach every 4th of July. The hottest time, the worst time, it's when all the tourists are down here. To your point, most South Florida people, between May and August, like, we're not doing the beach then. That's like the hottest time of the year. It's miserable.
But I think it's amazing you can go to the beach year round. Like, yeah. How many times right now do you go to the beach? 10
you don't
times
go in the water. Like, if it's in the wintertime, if it's January, December, you're not really going in the water a lot because the water does get cold. But the beach, during the day, you're, oh yeah, sun's out, guns out. Like, it could be December 19th and you could have a nice beach day.
Yeah, see, that's phenomenal. That's where I'm envious. But you're right. The summer's for you guys. The humidity is just disgusting. Oh, tropical storms.
I'm inside my air-conditioned house right now, and I'm sweating.
Like, Gottlieb used to always tell me, he goes, the heat is ridiculously overrated. I said, what perspective? He said, when you're inside, it's air-conditioned, and at night, it's great. But I'm with you. Sometimes even the air-conditioning can't do enough of its
job.
Are
we prepared to say air-conditioning is the greatest invention ever?
Okay, we should. Yeah, this gets interesting because
maybe
right
we
away
do a whole episode on that. Maybe we think about it and come back.
Yeah, just off the top of my head, air conditioning, iPhones, DVR,
cars,
the virtual red zone. The virtual line for the first down. I love,
or just the red zone channel.
Like, even the red zone channel. I like score bugs. Like, if you try to watch a game from 1980, there's no score bug. It's insane. Like, what the hell is the score of this game? I have no idea. You have to wait every three innings. They pop it up. Oh, 3-1 Yankees leading. A score bug is insane.
Do you have the Just Watch app? Chris Whittingham turned me on to this. You would like this because if you're ever like, oh, is this? I want to watch this movie, but I don't know. It's got to be on some streaming service. Just Watch is an app where you type in a movie and it tells you anywhere you can watch it. It's like, it's on Netflix, HBO Max, in theaters, you know what I mean?
Wow.
It's a really good app for, hey, whenever you give me a movie that we got to watch, I throw it in there. It's like, okay, it's on HBO Max, it's on Paramount.
It's called Just Watch,
and you can put in all the services you have. So it's like, I got Netflix, I got, and then it tells you, you type in a movie or a show, where of those streaming services it's available. It's really good.
You're unbelievable. Just Watch is getting it done. Witty, as always, appreciate the assist.
Witty app. It's just like a little, it's just really helpful.
It's absolutely very helpful. All the time people say, what's streaming? What's good on Netflix? Well, hang on. Just Watch app. They'll hook you up.
Yep.
We went to the beach, and as a couple of my kids were on the rides, a guy looked over at me and goes, hey, are you Adnan? Which I was impressed. He recognized it because I'm wearing a red Canada hat, awful, ugly sunglasses because I don't wear the good sunglasses at the beach. Yeah. Like ugly, silver tinted, like just brutal. Embarrassing, like Star Wars shorts. Like, it's just awful.
You were almost like, ooh, no, I didn't want you to see me.
Yeah, I did not want to be recognized here. I'm like, oh, if it was a 6-foot blonde, I'd be terrified. But I'm like, thankfully, just a regular dude. And he's like, are you Adnan? I'm like, yeah, actually, I am. And he's like, yeah. He goes, I just want to let you know I'm a huge fan of the Cinephile podcast.
Yes.
And I said, oh my God, I appreciate that.
He's like,
I get
despite
a picture.
Chris Cody.
Yeah, he goes, can I get a picture? I go, listen, you're going to get more than a picture, buddy. You're getting a shout-out on the Cinephile podcast. Good picture, shout-out to his son, Jet, his daughter as well. He's got two kids, might go for three. So Cinephile is very popular at Jersey Shore, thanks to this guy. Having said that, my real topic I wanted to get into was the price of food these days. Inflation's gone up, right? 9%. Yeah. Everyone knows gas is insane right now. Everyone's losing their minds. I'm calling the Yankee game this past Thursday. The four words that nobody in America wanted to hear, cost us out, Virk in. like unbelievable. I'm like, wait, what? Like, I got the call. They're like, cost us out, Virk in. I go, is he okay? They're like, oh my God. So I text Costas. I'm like, I hope you're okay, Bob. He's like, yep. He's like, actually, I have a few ideas in the game because I did some notes. I'm like, great. You get Bob Costas talking. The game was Angels-Yankees. And then I check. I go, wow, Otani's pitching? I'm like, are you kidding? Yeah. Oh my God. And Bob starts talking about Mantle. Mantle should have won MVP in 64, not Brooks Robinson. Probably should have won in 61 as well when Roger hit the 61 home runs. Should be a five-time MVP. Trout's a three-time MVP. I'm like, hey, the best. Like, Bob just waxing poetic is amazing. Started talking to the George Carlin doc. He's like, ah, I've interviewed George Carlin. He was on my HBO show. I'm like, really? He goes, I asked George Carlin, can you do the baseball versus football routine? And George Carlin looked at me. Bob said, this was like 2004. Wasn't that long ago? I mean, Carlin died in 08, I want to say. He just looked at me and goes, give me 1 minute. And then, bam, nailed it. I go, wow. He goes, word for word. The guy did the whole football versus baseball routine. I go, that's pretty impressive.
So anyways. When Bob Costas gives you notes for a broadcast, you have to use them, right? Like, you can't not use them.
Originally, when he said, can I give you a call? I was like, yeah, call me in 10. I was going to do it from the car. But to your point, I'm like, oh, I have to actually be making notes. I can't be like, uh-huh, yeah, okay, got it. Like, are you writing this down?
I'll use that, yeah.
Yeah. So I wrote down everything. One of the notes was irrelevant because Wednesday there was a rainout. All stars were aligned. Otani pitching at Yankees Stadium. I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. Rain out. And then Joe Maddon spites me. Doubleheader Thursday, Otani pitching the afternoon game. I've got the late game. I'm like, what? I went from Otani to Reed Detmers. The second time I'm calling a Reed Detmers game this year. I've called two games, and they're both Reed Detmers games. I called the game at Fenway, Reed Detmers, and now again, more Reed Detmers. Like,
you're a Reed Detmer expert.
So I said, God, I hope the Yankees win by 20. I see Booney ahead of the game.
Said that on the broadcast.
No, I didn't say it on the broadcast, but I felt it. And I think people could tell. I see Booney before the game, big hug. He's like, what do you need? It's funny, when I saw him, like, I kind of want to just catch up, like start telling stories, Baseball Tonight stories, tell jokes, any precursion. But like, he's friendly, but all business. It was like, big hug? He's like, what do you need? I'm like, oh, that's right. I'm actually supposed to do a job here. I'm supposed to ask you questions. How's your bullpen looking? What's the latest on Clay Holmes? Yeah. Why do you think Joey Gallo is struggling? Like, I had to get all serious for a second. And then we go upstairs. The meal in the press box is $15 at Yankee Stadium for the media.
What?
So this is my question to you. Thank you. That's already my reaction. And I said, okay. And I look around. I go, what do we got here? Like a little soft serve ice cream, burgers, hot dogs, chicken fingers, fries. Okay.
It better be good for $15.
$15. Okay, no problem. And I said, I have one question. He goes, yeah. I go, it's a double header. He's like, uh-huh. I go, is it $15 per meal or is it $15 for the day? And he kind of gives you a little bit of cut on. I go, to be clear, the Yankees are charging a split admission doubleheader today. So if a fan is watching the Otani game at 1, they're paying for a ticket. Then they have to leave and come back in with their second ticket to watch the Reed Detmers game. So, hey, maybe you're charging me $30 for the food. Thankfully, it was only $15. I don't know how to expect. By the way, I have no expense account on MLB Network, so I just have to eat this. Like, they gave me a rental car to go to Boston. And we all know the story there where I proved I was a thief. And part of the issue is I don't have per diem. I don't know how to get per diem. So, like, I have $67 in gas receipts. And I asked somebody, I go, hey, can I get reimbursed for this? He's like, oh, just expense it. I'm like, I don't know how to expense it. At ESPN, they made it so difficult to expense things. Kirkchen told me he had, like, thousands of dollars he was owed. Eddie Perez found someone. I think her name was Karen Reberg. And he goes, can you do me a favor? She says, yeah. He goes, can you expense all my stuff? And if so, I'll give you 10% of it.
Yeah. That's how you play.
He charged like an agent. He's like, yeah, because you do all this. I don't understand the system, computer coding, all this nonsense, but I'm owed like $3,000. I'll give you $300. Pretty good move. Bottom line is this. The game, which I'm lamenting, is no Otani. What happened? Jameson Taillon pitching for the Yankees? Perfect through 4. Perfect through 5. Perfect through 6. Perfect through 7. I had a perfect game through 7 innings, and then Jared Walsh ended it, but Rizzo hits the walk-up, bottom of the 8th. Pinch hit single for the Yankees. They win. End up having a great game. So all things work out.
Are you starting at that point to like plan in the seventh inning? Like how? Like are you starting to think what's my final out call gonna be? Like are you giving? Or do you just like I'll just be in the moment and I'll do it however.
You nailed it. You're reading my mind because I didn't think about it at all. Perfect through 4. Perfect through 5. Perfect through 7. I started to go, okay, I should start thinking of these things because now we're showing the David Cone video. Perfect game against the Expos. Now Tom Verducci's talking about Don Larsen. We've got the Don Larsen video. Yogi jumping his arms.
Okay, how angry is Bob Costas in that seventh? Inning.
Well, he texted me after the game and he goes, if you'd had a perfect game, of which there have been 23 in baseball history, there would have been hell to pay. I'm like, no, but I can totally
That's
get that.
That's actually got to be a cool thing, a cool chip on the resume for like a broadcaster. Like if you called one of the 20 whatever perfect games ever, that's really cool.
My call would have been like just whatever the last.
Let's
was
just do
be
it right now.
Okay. So the last guy. Jameson Taillon's done it. Subscribe to Cinephile. Rate and review.
Yes. He's perfect. Only as perfect as this week's episode of Cinephile.
I would have just risked my job. Like, screw it. Because that call is going to live forever. Like, the rest of
Check
the year,
Cinephile,
they're going to
Check out Cinephile wherever you get your podcast.
Tyone, like a true cinephile, is picture perfect. Like, ah, like what a call.
Yes. I'll see you at the movies.
I think it actually would have been perfect in pinstripes, but I would have had to find a way to get cinephile
perfect in pinstripes.
Pretty good, right? Tyone, that's really perfect good. In pinstripes. Crowd goes nuts. Like, yeah. Anyways, we're 6 hours away. This week, I'm going to San Diego, also known as heaven. I'm flying out. I can't. Mets, Padres, two loaded teams right now. I mean, where do you rank San Diego in your favorite cities in America? I guess it's got to be top five.
I mean, I've only been once when I was younger, but I just remember it being so gorgeous, perfect weather.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean.
70s and sunny, blue skies, Coronado Beach. I can't wait.
It seems
like
you're getting a lot of games. It felt like you went from, like, you were like, hey, I want to do some games, and now they're just throwing games at you left and right.
No doubt about it. I was like, I want to do some games. They go, have you done games? I'm like, yep, I got Andy Jacobson, my old friend from
ESPN. They must like what you're doing because they keep giving them to you.
Yeah. I just can't believe those four words, though. Cost us out, Verk in, and it could have been a perfect game. Next time he's on with Dan's show, you got to bring that up. Reed Detmers. All right. Let's do a little movie talk now, shall we? Everyone keeps talking about Top Gun. Congratulations. Obviously, the movie's made a ton of money. A tweet that, I mean, almost blew my mind today from Ben Lyons responded to the person. It was Scott Feinberg, who does a podcast with The Hollywood Reporter. He's a great writer. He said, listen, don't think it's out of the question that Tom Cruise could win an Oscar. I'm like, well, hang on. This is an absurd statement. Like, what is he talking about? I'm like, and I know Feinberg is just stirring people up. I get it. But what he wrote was, you know, when you look at the history of the Academy, there's been lots of questionable Oscars. And when the Academy thinks that it's the person's time, it's going to be their time. And I'm like, yeah, but this isn't an Oscar-type movie, despite what our friend Mike Ryan is saying. This was tweet. Denzel won for Training Day. Al won for Scent of a Woman. Paul won for The Color of Money, Paul Newman. John won for True Grit, John Wayne. Let's be very clear. Tom can win for Top Gun Maverick. Let's see what the rest of 2022 brings, but right or wrong, when the Academy decides it's time, it's time. That's so I understood his point, but it's not going to happen. And so Ben Lyons immediately tweeted, love me some Top Gun Maverick. Ben really liked the movie, as much as the next person. But let's stop the Tom Cruise deserves the Oscar talk right now. No, just shut it down. Cody, if Tom Cruise even gets nominated for an Oscar, like I'm going to have to shave my head. I'm going to set myself on fire. Like something crazy has to happen.
There he said it. Isn't it the movie's getting pretty, like, you'd be less shocked if the movie got nominated. Like, if anything, like, let's say something had to be nominated from this. Like, where is Tom Cruise on the list? Let's at least play that game with you.
Yeah, I would say it's well down the list. Like, I think it's going to be, let's say, visual effects, right? Cinematography, sound design, that kind of stuff gets nominated for a big action picture that's been well received by critics and fans. But best actor, like, no, are you kidding? Like, bro, it's June. Like, all the good movies come out from October to December. Like, let's wait for Anthony Hopkins, the father, and Denzel playing Macbeth and all the stuff that we saw last year, Belfast, all the rest of it. So let's, like, just slow your roll. And I just hope, again, if there's just at least one person who watches Top Gun and then watches Going Clear, The Case Against Scientology, which is available right now on HBO Max, then that makes my day. Like, I had one tweet from a guy who goes, hey, man, I love Top Gun, but because of you, I did watch that documentary, and that's an awesome documentary. He's like, I've definitely lost respect for Tom Cruise. I'm like, my work here is done. I just need one person. Then my work here is done. Let's talk about this week, though. Obi-Wan Kenobi. Cody, where are you as far as
you got to make me care about this show? Because I'm so out on Star Wars, and let alone the separate avenues that Star Wars has created. I mean, I'm not going to do the thing. I'm just not my thing. Saying it's bad. I'm just not my thing.
Bro, we're on the same page. On a scale of 1 to 10, if I said to you, what is your Star Wars fandom? I'm going to say 2. You and me are both a 2. I was going to say 2 or 3. Like I have seen them.
A couple years ago, I tried to do the thing where I went and watched the original ones. Like, I did it all in order.
Yeah.
I did it. I watched it, and at the end, I was just like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, like, I watched 4, 5, 6, as we all have, Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. I've seen 1, 2, 3, the very criticized George Lucas prequels, Phantom Menace, Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
And then there's been the spinoffs, like you said. I never watched Solo, which I remember everyone says is probably the worst Star Wars movie. I never saw that. Ron Howard took over after it was kind of a troubled production. But I've seen the J.J. Abrams reboot and all the rest of it. Like, I'm with you. I'm like, I see them. I just don't go crazy for them. I don't dress up on Halloween. I'm not talking about Ewoks all day. So my wife, I never knew she was a big Star Wars person, but she's getting really into it now. She's been binge-watching stuff, and she goes, we got to watch Obi-Wan. It's so great. I'm like, really? Is it? And she's like, I'm just excited because it's one of the OGs. Like, now they're going in all these spinoffs when it comes to Rey and you know, whatever John Boyega's character is called. And she goes, like, I like the OGs.
The throwback, right.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay, I like the throwback. So it is the Jedi Master Obi-Wan Kenobi watching over young Luke Skywalker evading the Empire's elite Jedi hunters during his exile on the desert planet Tatooine. I just love how they come up with these names. Like, imagine they're spitballing. What do you want to call it? Tarantula? No.
It's literally throw a word in a blender. And then let's
Tatooine. And for years, people will talk about this crazy planet, Tatooine. So the first episode, I got to be honest, they're about 35, 40 minutes each on Disney Plus, and they're releasing them one a week. Interesting the way some streaming services are now going anti-binging. Yeah. Right before, you could just watch Ozark. And now, like Better Call Saul, as we've talked about, where we're splitting the season, which is a show on cable television. And now, both Obi-Wan Kenobi and The Staircase, both of which I'm reviewing this week, limited series, six episodes Obi-Wan. The Staircase, I think, is eight, maybe 10. But it's only one available a week. It's like they're tired of the fact everyone just watches it over a weekend.
It's probably a strategy of, like, you're more likely to watch other things if you can't binge. Like, if I'm in love with Obi-Wan, I'm going to be back next week to watch it, so why not? I don't know. I get the strategy of these streaming services testing out, like, does our usage go down if we, you know what I mean? Like, I bet you they're gathering info with all this stuff. They're just trying stuff out, seeing what gets them the most, like, action.
And you're right, because otherwise you could just watch and cancel it, right? It's like a pay-per-view fight. I'll just watch it for 2 days and I'll get rid of HBO, whatever. Now I'm like, no, you have to be stuck in there. So the first episode, if that's what's meant to hook you in, I could have done a lot better of a job. It's an awfully slow ride for 35 minutes. If, like me and Cody, you are a 2 out of 10, you're going to go, okay, one episode I think is more than enough. The second episode picks up, and the third episode I actually thought was quite good. I do like Ewan McGregor a lot. He's playing Obi-Wan Kenobi. And you kind of, again, if you're not crazy in that world, they have to kind of remind you, like, all right, Darth Vader's kind of like his brother. Okay, yep, he trained Luke, uh-huh. And then there's Leia's his sister. Yeah. I'm like, yep. So you get all that stuff. And it's cool seeing Leia as a little girl, and she's following Obi-Wan around. He's quick thinking and stuff. You know, it's beautifully shot. And again, Kumail Nanjiani, who I'm a big fan of, he shows up. He's playing this kind of like shady character, a little bit of corrupt. He's kind of a fun character he's playing. Benny Safdie, who's a director, he shows up. Joel
Are there
Edgerton's
any
director.
Like blob characters? Like
yeah, there's a couple. I mean, that you're kind of like, I don't know if this character's really that needed. But again, I think three episodes in, it hasn't been too overdone yet because you're kind of getting little bits and pieces. It's not like Phantom Menace when you watch and you saw Jar Jar Binks and you go, this is horrific. Like, years from now, people mention the George Lucas sequel, they're going to be like, the prequels, excuse me, they're going to say, God, remember that Jar Jar Binks character? Like, annoying and racist. Yeah. Talked in a Rasta accent, like, and then dreads, like, what the hell are they thinking? Yeah. Hayden Christensen shows up, of course, he is Darth Vader, and spoiler alert, 3, 2, Darth Vader shows up, which you would expect in a show called Obi-Wan Kenobi. So anything involving Darth Vader, I am down for. I'm a fan of The Empire Strikes Back. I like the dark side. So I think the next few episodes are going to be awfully good because now that Darth has shown up, my man Hayden Christensen, you're going to get some good Darth Vader, Obi-Wan Kenobi stuff. So
Darth Vader, it's such an intimidating name when it's completely said. If you just call him Darth, he like becomes a totally less threatening. Like, yeah, you see Darth over here?
Yeah,
like,
it sounds a little close to Garth, and that's definitely not a thing that inspires fear. Like, if you said most famous
Darth Vader, like, would be a funny SNL like character of like two characters combining.
Right.
Garth Vader, and it's just like Garth is like, Wayne's World.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, there's two Garths you think of. Garth Brooks and Garth from Wayne's World. Yeah. I'd like it if it was Garth Nader. Like, he had Ralph Nader and Darth Vader. And you're like, okay, well, look at Garth Nader. He's like this political candidate you have on SNL. He's debating with, like,
that could be our title. Darth Vader versus Garth Nader.
Yeah, Darth Vader or Garth Nader. That is this week's Week of Cinephile. Oh, we're cracking ourselves up. Obi-Wan Kenobi. If you're a fan of it, you should watch it. I'm going to give it 2.5 Maple Leafs? Yeah. 3 episodes, it's been okay so far.
And we'll tweet us other funny combos of like two characters from other things that, like, if we combine their, like, it'd be a funny random character.
Please do.
Because Garth Vader, I don't think we're going to beat that.
I don't think so either. Cinephile pod, see if you can top us. We don't think you can. Next up, The Staircase. If you like your true crime, you're going to like this. Tells the story of Michael Peterson, a crime novelist accused of killing his wife, Kathleen, after she is found dead at the bottom of the staircase in their home, and the 16-year judicial battle that followed. It's no secret now. If you want to watch something really good on streaming, generally the limited series are the way to go. The Night Of was awesome on HBO. Severance, a lot of people liked on Apple Plus. Again, although I think that'll be a second season. But these limited series are just really well done. They get these big-time actors, Colin Firth, Academy Award winner, Toni Collette, Academy Award nominated, Michael Stuhlbarg, really good actor, Patrick Schwarzenegger, Arnold's kid. You get them all in a movie. All right, we're going to do 8 episodes. We'll make it nice and
Arnold's
intense.
Arnold's kid's an actor?
Yeah, Patrick Schwarzenegger, which, I mean, good-looking kid.
Let me Google this guy. He's got to look good, right?
Yeah, I mean, as soon as my wife said to me, she goes, Arnold's kid's in it, and I looked, and I go, it's got to be that guy, because I'm like, he's way too good-looking. That has to be him. Right. Plus, he's got the genes not only of Arnold, but also Maria Shriver. Like, I mean, it's...
Oh, wow, yeah, he's good-looking.
Right?
Not as big, not as menacing looking as his dad.
No, he's not jack like him, but just smooth, handsome.
Yeah.
So the story of Michael Peterson, I did not know what the story of Michael Peterson is, and I'm not going to ruin it for everybody. I'll just give you the outline of it, which is exactly what I read. He was a crime novelist accused of killing his wife. And the first episode, what is really fascinating about it is Colin Firth is not playing an especially likable character. Like, I think he's a really good actor who can play all different types. Obviously, The King's Speech is what he won an Academy Award for. A Single Man is a really good movie. He's in the Kingsman movies, action films. But here he's playing a guy who's kind of a dick. Like, he's got his biological children. He's got kids he's adopted. But he's kind of self-absorbed, very short, seems like he has a temper, and you're like, oh, this is the kind of guy he is. And very quickly you find out, they got flash-forwards, flashbacks, his wife is found dead at the bottom of the staircase. Toni Collette plays his wife. And so the whole story unfolds, and the whole time I'm like, listen, I don't want to Google anything, I know this is based on a true story, I don't know what happens, it's from Antonio Campos, the creator. And the first episode just kind of outlays the fact, you know, did he do it, did he not do it, here's what may have happened. The second episode gets more into the backstory of him and his kids, relationship with his kids, her kids, and their relationship together. The third episode takes a turn because now he's being charged with murder. So he's going before the trial, and Michael Stuhlbarg plays his lawyer, very smart guy. And as he keeps pointing out, this is what I always think about. If I ever get arrested, I just need a really good defense attorney. And he's very expensive. He goes, listen, it's going to be like $304,000. And Colin Firth's like, bro, I got six kids. And he's like, it's either that or life in prison. Okay, fine. Here's the $400,000. He goes, everything you have, give me your mortgage, give me your kids' bonds, whatever you got. But the whole key he keeps saying is reasonable doubt. We don't have to prove who killed your wife. We just need to prove that it probably wasn't you, or it might not have been you. It may have been you, but it maybe wasn't, because that's all this is. It's just enough of that camouflage to obviously cause reasonable doubt. But the third episode is where it takes a turn I was not expecting. They have a scene where Toni Collette is checking out his computer, finding some information that's kind of like, well, a little bit off-putting. And the brother ends up talking to Colin Firth's kids because Colin Firth is telling him, he's like, hey, you got to tell my kids about the stuff that they found, the pictures. He's like, oh, okay. And the pictures are a bunch of dudes, like a bunch of young, naked, muscular guys. I'm like, okay. So the brother's talking to the kids, including Schwarzenegger's kid, and goes, hey, listen, your father's, he's a very sexual person. And, you know, he had these pictures of some men that were found. So the police are looking at that and some relationships that he had with men. So he just wanted me to let you guys know. And they're like, dad's gay? He's like, no, he's not gay. He's bisexual. He's like, yeah, yeah. He goes, okay. And why is this relevant? He's like, well, they just don't know that there may have been an issue with regards to with mom. He's like, oh, mom didn't, wait, he cheated on mom with other men and mom didn't know? He's like, well, it's complicated. I'm like, so what exactly is happening now? So you have a scene where Colin Firth, again, I was not expecting this in the show. Maybe people know the real story. You see him at a porn store. Oh, sorry. First, he's on the phone talking to a guy. And then they start exchanging messages. And he says, I was in the military. I was into suck, fuck, and rim jobs. He's like, I love rim jobs. The next scene is the prosecution. And there's this older woman sitting there. And she goes, okay, guys, like, wait, he's gay? Like, he was cheating on his wife? Like, this proves it. He had a gay lover. She found out that he's gay. He wants to kill her. Blah, blah, blah. And she goes, and by the way, guys, what exactly is a rim job? Because he's a military man. So then the next scene, he's in an adult store. Thankfully, they don't have anyone explaining it. They just go, oh, we'll explain it to you later. He's in an adult store, and they're looking at porn videos, and he kind of eyes this one guy. And they don't quite wink at each other, but they're eyeing each other. The guy goes back to watch a porn movie. You know, he throws in, puts his belt down, starts watching a couple girls going out, you know, lesbians, whatever. And then Colin Firth walks in and just joins him. Like, oh my God, I did not know where this show was going. Like, this is very explicit sexual material. The next scene, Chris Cody, he goes back. And now you're not sure, like, does his wife know him? Does she not? Whatever he did, this guy, whatever. And he goes back to his wife. And she starts talking, and she's saying how expensive his kids are. She's like, you know, your kids want this money. They screwed up on this, blah, blah, blah. And she's standing at the counter. And he goes behind her, starts kissing her neck. And she's kind of getting a little bit distracted. He kind of lifts up her shirt. He goes kissing her back. He then pulls her pants down. And wait for it. Gives her a rim job. Like, this has to be the first time I've ever seen on screen that being depicted. I go, oh, my God. And she's trying to keep the conversation going. She's like, what about Patrick? Oh my God. And like, there's no way you can get a body double
she
on this
one.
Yeah,
she liked it. Yeah. Usually it takes a couple times.
You see Colin Firth face submerged in Toni Collette's ass cheeks. I'm like, wow.
That is not.
HBO Max.
Usually, if you like a rim job, you know what to expect. It's rare that somebody is unexpecting of a rim job, doesn't know what a rim job is, and still enjoys it. That is like, that's the biggest upset in this whole thing.
Right. While watching it, I don't think she knows what's coming, but clearly she is pleased by it, and maybe he had just done it in the previous
ooh.
Scene.
She's, ooh.
So exactly. Oh, my God. So the prosecution starts, and he goes, you know what? That's not true. And the defense coordinator is like, you had affairs with men? He goes, no, never had affairs with men. He goes, they have proof. They have guys coming forward. They talk to this guy. He's going to bring him up on the stand. He goes, yeah, I had sex with him. We did this. We did this. He goes, never had an affair with him. He goes, so he's lying. He goes, no, I never had an affair. He's like, we had sex together, but we didn't have an affair. He goes, what are you talking about?
Yeah, what do you think an affair is?
He goes, an affair is when you're having dinner with somebody. An affair is when you're calling. And he goes, no, I would just call these guys and we would just
oh, there's like no emotion. He's saying if there's no emotion, it's not an affair. I don't think that's how that works. I'm going to ask my wife, but I don't think that's how that works.
See if that. Imagine if you said, I'm just going to go to the biggest strip club in Miami and I'm just going to hang and have a good time. Like, but there was no emotion. It was just a physical act. I mean, I just paid them a bunch of money and had a good time. But baby, I don't love them though. Again, it shows how unlikable this guy is. So he's claiming, A, my wife kind of knew what I was about. He's like, did she know? Did she not know? He's like, she knew what my interests were. I'm like, okay. But you weren't having affairs. No, I was just having sex with other men. And she's okay with this. Like, yeah. So this really becomes a big part of the prosecution's case. They're like, there's no way any woman would be okay with this. Right. Clearly, this guy is leading a double life, and he's lying to all of us right now. And what the show does, which is really fascinating, is they have one example where it's exactly what he said. We were outside at the pool. She walked in. She slipped, hit her head. Which, again, there's a ton of blood everywhere. There's scratches. There's marks. Like, I don't really know if that happened. And they have one version of events. It's really cool. Where she finds that stuff. And he did not tell her about it. And she says, why are you having affairs? Look at these pictures. He goes, no, this is research. He's like, research? You have like 20 pictures of naked men. He's like, I'm a writer. I have to look up these things. He's like, what are you writing here? Porno? Like, what's going on? You're a crime novelist.
That's like me on the couch just scrolling through Twitter. And my wife's like, you're on your phone. I'm like, I'm working, honey. I have like, there's... I work in sports. Like, I have to be keeping up with the news. It's like,
It's like an Instagram. It's like an Instagram. You have a bunch of hot chicks. Your wife asked you why. Oh, it's research. I just need to know. But it's for the show.
We're talking. We are interviewing this lady's husband later in the week. So,
yeah. Dan just wants me to know what their spouses are all
research,
about.
Research, honey. You know that.
Research. So they have one version where she finds out what happened. He punches her, beats whatever. Anyways, the story ends up really taking an interesting turn. Because again, if you know the real version of the staircase, what ends up happening is a documentary crew. How crazy is this? He agrees to let a documentary crew film him as the trial is going on, as all of this is happening. And that documentary crew ends up being really critical to his case. So I won't say any more further than that. A couple more episodes left in this one. But it's amazing how, again, for an 8-episode show, it feels like a true crime story. But then it shows how this documentary being made about him ends up impacting his case. And I will leave it at that. If you want to check out The Staircase, you can watch HBO Max. So it's kind of a story within the story, which I found interesting. And clearly, I thought the interesting stuff that I knew Chris and I would be amused by, we've already disclosed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's do a little old movie here, Draft Day. Now, I've already disclosed here on Cinephile, I have proven in the past, A, that I'm a thief by stealing food from the hotel in Boston. B, I have proven that I'm not above bribing cops, which I proved last week when I got the ticket. And three, I now need to profess that I am a liar. I was on Vancouver Radio, one of my paid weekly hits there. Emphasis on paid. I love those guys, but they do pay me. And they said to me, when the NFL draft was coming up a month ago, they're like, what do you think of the movie Draft Day? And Cody, I completely BS'd. I had never seen Draft Day. So I was like, oh, you know, it's not a bad movie, but it's, you know, it could have been better. I'm like, because I remember at the time it got mixed reviews. It's not something I have any interest in.
That's so funny. I was going to do that today because I haven't really seen Draft Day. I was just going to be like, yeah, you know, it should have been better for the cast it had and for the hype around it. But it just ended up being a big flop. Like, it should have been better. I don't think if you say movies that should have been better, Draft Day is at the top of my list.
And you would have said all of that without having seen the film.
Right.
And now that I told you we're doing it, have you seen the film?
No. Well, you did. In my defense, I was preparing for another movie, and you did a little switcheroo.
I said that because the previous week you did not respond to me. I texted you because you're better on text than email. So like, let me go text, and I go, next week, which one do you want? The Hangover, Draft Day, and I can't remember the third.
Oh, I didn't answer that one?
No response by you. I go, son of a bitch. So this week I go, okay, let's just do Hangover. And then again, you didn't even respond. So I go,
because that one I was perfect with because I was like, I don't need to rewatch that one. Hangover's just one of my classics. So that one I have.
Hangover potentially next week. This week we are doing Draft Day. so I can stop being a liar and I finally saw it. But Chris's review is actually bang on. Considering the talent involved, should have been a lot better.
But my review was right of draft day, right?
That's 1,000%. I was like, I was surprised how many stars are in this. Like Dennis Leary's playing the coach. Kevin Costner obviously is the GM. Jennifer Garner is his love interest. Also works in the front office. Chadwick Boseman, the late Black Panther actor, plays Vontae Mack, who's one of the top draft picks available. Chris Berman plays himself. Mel Kiper plays himself. Deion Sanders, John Gruden, Mike Mayock. Listen, even a classic actor, Frank Langella, is in the movie. He's amazing. He plays the owner of the team. You got Ellen Burstyn. She won an Academy Award for a film that Martin Scorsese directed her in 1974. Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore. She's playing Costner's mom. So you've got Kevin Costner, Frank Langella, Ellen Burstyn, Jennifer Garner, Chadwick Boseman, Dennis Leary,
and crap of a movie.
Yeah, it's a very bland movie. Here's the story. At the NFL draft, general manager Sonny Weaver has the opportunity to rebuild his team when he trades for the number one pick. He must decide what he's willing to sacrifice in a life-changing day for a few hundred young men with NFL dreams. Also, I seem to have forgotten that the great Ivan Reitman directed it. Noted Canadian.
That was surprising. When I was doing the research for you for this, I was like, That's got to be a blemish on his resume.
Right. This isn't exactly Ghostbusters or Stripes or any meatballs. Like, no, this is a draft day. I kind of just stuck the note at the end. First off, are you or are you not surprised there's been a movie made of an NFL general manager? Like, you talk about bland topics. I get the NFL is an enormously popular sport, but I'm not kidding. It's a 2-hour and 10 movie, but a white guy making a pick on a football team. Like, it could be more bland material.
The focus on, like, draft day. Like, I get draft. People are so obsessed with the draft. But there's a story with a football franchise being run, but I don't think it's, like, focusing in on just the draft day. Like, it's got to be a broader story than that. And the players need to be part of the story. Like, just focusing on the GM is, like, such, like, a first-world problem. Like, oh, his job's so tough. It's the craziest day ever when really he's just, like guessing on a bunch of random prospects.
Yeah. That is, again, for a guy who hasn't seen the movie, you were nailing this review so far. That's exactly what it is. Kevin Costner wakes up. What do I pick? Who should I pick? He trades 3 number one picks. He has the number 7 overall pick. He trades 3 number ones for the number one overall pick. And the whole question is, should he draft this quarterback, Bo Callahan? Shiny, cocky young quarterback. Maybe he's like a little bit of Tony Romo, Trevor Lawrence. Like when I was watching him, who's this based on? But I'm like, whatever. Good, young, cocky quarterback. But he's just a little skeptical, right? How come nobody went to his birthday party? Like maybe he's not well-liked by his teammates. And Dennis Leary's like, no, we need a good quarterback. Get this guy in here. They already have Bryce Drew, their incoming quarterback. No, get me Bo Callahan. So Bo Callahan's a big, sexy toy. But Costner doesn't want to draft him. And then there's some intrigue involving his father, the fact that he fired his dad. And his mom wants him to spread ashes there at the field. And Jennifer Garner is an executive, but it's also his girlfriend, which nobody knows because he's, trying to keep that private.
By the way, I just Googled it. Bo Callahan appears to be based off of the real-life Connor Cook, who's a former Michigan State quarterback, random.
Okay. Connor, I remember him as a senior at Michigan State. Yeah. Not exactly the star power we were hoping for. Yet again, why the movie probably was not more successful. Frank Langella plays Anthony Molina, the owner. Now, just as sports guys, Chris and I can quibble about this. This is why I wish you'd seen it, just for the draft part. Like, it's great that they have Boomer. They got Rich Eisen. Okay, yeah, great. At the actual draft, they're not there. The owner is there. Anthony Molina, and Roger Goodell makes a cameo. He shakes his hand, how are you? But Costner and the rest of the guys aren't there, which I'm like, this isn't a virtual draft. This is 2014.
Well, no, aren't the teams usually at headquarters?
I feel like there's at least more representatives. I feel like the GM would at least be there.
Yeah, maybe.
But perhaps you're right. Maybe most of the guys.
I always picture them showing the war rooms, even before the virtual drafts.
All right, fair enough. So the war rooms is where most of them are. I would think at least the GM is there, the president,
somebody.
But perhaps. But there's definitely a war room. Anyways, the Browns are picking first. And when they announce it, and they're doing it the real style, okay, Browns are on the clock, the guys are all there, Dennis Leary and the scouts, the assistant GMs, and Kevin Costner, nowhere to be, he's in his office. Like, they have 10 minutes. Like, he's not there.
Oh, he's doing that thing where he's like, I need to think. Get away from me.
For a guy who hasn't seen the movie, you're nailing this review. That's exactly, because he's not sure. Should I draft Bo? Should I not draft Bo? What do I do? And then he picks up a phone, he calls somebody, he's like, okay, got it. He goes up there, he's like, they're like, man, where were you? We got 6 minutes left. Like, he just screws around for 3.5 minutes. It's 6 minutes. Now he's there with the guys. He's like, I already took care of it. And so he's like, what? He's like, I've already made the call. He's like, it's my decision. So the whole movie is built on, is it Bo? Is it not Bo? And guess what? It's not Bo. Wow. It's Chadwick Boseman's character, Vontae Mack. And part of the reason why is when he calls Bo Callahan, and is, by the way, another thing I didn't mention, his agent or manager, Puff Daddy. Sean Puffy Combs, like, yo, what's up? Here's Bo Callahan. I'm like, wow, what a thankless role he picked. He just shows up as the Bo Callahan's agent / manager. And what he asks Bo is, he goes, I need to ask you something. This was the call he makes before the draft. He goes, why did none of your teammates go to your birthday party? And Bill Callahan kind of paused. He's like, I got to be honest, Mr. Weaver, I really don't remember much from that night. And Costner goes, all right, I don't remember much from when I was 21. He's like, okay. I'm like, that's why you made the decision? Because Bo Callahan doesn't remember his 21st birthday party or the fact that his teammates
didn't show
up?
That's why he decided not to take him here.
Does not take him. He takes Vontae Mack.
Because he thinks he's a partier. He's like doing like you were drunk, so like you're a partier, so you're not focused.
Well, earlier there's one scene where, again, it's so stretching the rules of plausibility. They're showing a sequence where Bo Callahan is the quarterback. Vontae Mack is the linebacker, defensive end linebacker. He's a LT. And on one series, he sacks Callahan. The next play, Callahan throws it away quickly. Why? Because he's hearing footsteps. He feels Vontae Mack coming. Later on, he throws a wicked touchdown, ends up throwing four touchdowns. And he's like, what's different about this game? As if the room would not know what the answer is, which is that Vontae Mack got hurt and that Bo Callahan played better in the game because Mack was hurt. So imagine, it's like, again, let's do Connor Cook and Lawrence Taylor. So Lawrence Taylor sacks Connor Cook. Later on, the next play, Connor Cook throws it away. Later on, Connor Cook throws four touchdowns. They're like, hey, what happened in the game? Like, as if this room of guys who are preparing for the draft, who would have seen every single game of, like, there's only 12 college football games, as if they wouldn't know, like, what happened, Sonny? What happened? He's like, Vontae Mack was out of the game. Eh? So once he was gone, they were good. So he drafts Vontae Mack, who he could have had the number 7 pick overall. He traded 3 number 1 picks to move up in the draft to draft a guy he could have had at number 7 overall.
Yeah. Did they have like a guy who was Mel Kiper, but just not him? Or like did
they? No, they actually had Mel Kiper, okay. Which I thought was good. I like
they should have had a guy that just looked like him, that's name was like, you know, Nell Sniper. Like
we have Garth Nader and Snell Sniper.
So stupid.
I won't spoil what happens there. I guess the last 25 minutes, there's a couple of twists because that's at the 2-hour mark. And you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I sat through all this to find out he doesn't draft Bo Callahan. But let's just say he makes amends. He does some wheeling and dealing. He figures a way to get his 3 draft picks back. Probably the most shocking part is this.
Oh God. So it's a happy ending with like, he gets all his draft picks. He gets both players. Oh.
Yes, exactly. What ends up happening is, okay, who's picking 6? I don't know. Let's say it's Jacksonville. He calls Jacksonville and goes, hey, I know Bo Callahan starts falling in the draft. So the second team doesn't pick him. The third team doesn't pick him. Fourth. So he knows the 6th team is quarterback needy. I think it's the Jaguars. He calls him and goes, I know you're picking Callahan. He goes, Sonny, why didn't you take him? Why is he? Like as if a GM's going to tell another GM. Yeah. Here's why. Right. He goes, why aren't you drafting him? He's like, he's a bust. He's like, I think he's a bust. But you need a quarterback. He's your guy. So tell you what, you give me my 3 number 1 picks back and you can have the number 1 6th pick and you get Bo Callahan. So he ends up getting his 3 picks back.
Why would that GM? You want to talk about a bad GM? That's funny that they made it the Jags. That's very
right. I think because basically Costner's like, hey, I'm picking after you. Number 7 was his original pick. If you don't pick him here, I'm taking him. So give me 3 picks. You can draft him 6 overall. Ridiculous. And the movie ends. You'd think it would end at least like on a laughable note. Like, hey, the draft is over. The Browns win. No, the movie ends. The first scene is Vontae Mack just running out of the tunnel. Like, all right, go Browns. And they went on to a 6-10 season. Like, you have no, there's no support of his pick. You have no idea if the, like, was it a bust? Did it work? I'm like, oh, it was a tumultuous 24 hours in the life of Kevin Costner's Sonny Weaver. But you know what? He got his man. He got his 3 picks back. That's the movie. A 2-hour and 10 movie about a draft.
If you want to watch Draft Day, go to your Just Watch app, and you can find it on Fubo TV. And Apple TV Plus for a small price. That's what I'm saying.
I can't wait for everyone's review.
And Just Watch is not paying us for this. And it's just a helpful app for people.
But I tell you what, we should actually get them in a little cinephile action here. David Denby of New Yorker, who's a great critic. Ivan Reitman's dull-witted movie about the flurries of player trading on NFL draft day might be a commercial for professional football. I did think about that. I'm like, why did Goodell agree to this? Oh, there's nothing critical about the NFL. It's all very pro, pom-pom waving NFL.
How perfect it is, how great it is.
Oh,
for these kids.
Amazing. Ian Nathan of Empire Magazine. The drama holds the attention throughout, even if the script never quite crackles as it might. I would say so.
It's actually a good point by you. It was such a stipulation, I bet, for the NFL to be like, yes, we will agree to this, but we look perfect.
Yes.
We have full control. We have full control over any of the content. Like,
yes.
There's no doubt that they were like, all right, fine, we'll give you our rights, but we look amazing.
Right. Nothing shady ever happens. No players have character issues. The coaches are all on the up and up. Like, great. Yeah. Okay. As Mark Cremonti of The Observer said, plays like Moneyball light. What's more shocking, honestly, the fact there's a movie about an NFL general manager or a movie about a baseball GM? And or the fact that Moneyball was actually nominated for Academy Awards?
It just proves, though, that there's meat on the bone for good movies with these things. Like, Moneyball was so good that it proves that, okay. And it was with baseball. So, like, that is a swing and a miss in football for the football movie. I was trying to think of a football pun.
The football gets sacked here.
It was sacked, yes. The football movie gets sacked for a 7-yard loss.
Couple more reviews, just to mention The Staircase. Brian Bromberger, Bay Area. This version of The Staircase is riveting and brilliantly acted from start to finish. And if you haven't watched the docuseries, you can approach the material from a fresh, unbiased angle. But this is the one that was good. Frank J. Avell of Edge Media. Colin Firth, who has played gay numerous times before, has never been so simultaneously sexy and scary. Mm. Tell you, man, you watch this and you go, I can see this guy killing his wife. He's definitely a prick and he's a very annoying guy. But he's the main character of the movie, so you kind of root for him as well amidst all that. The stuff in prison, by the way, is very interesting. Last thing before we say goodbye, great role or great actor?
Yes, let's do it. We got imaging for this. Hit it.
This week's great role or great actor, Harrison Ford. Because somebody said to me something to the effect of, hey, you can't just discount Tom Cruise and just say Rain Man's good because of Dustin Hoffman, or Jerry Maguire's good because Cameron Crowe's a director. Like, eventually you have to give the guy some talent. I go, listen, he's an average actor who's worked with A-list directors. He's generally overrated, but he's charismatic and he's got great screen presence. I would never deny that about
Tom
Cruise.
Did you think he was overrated before all that stuff, like with the doc? Like,
it definitely impacted my opinion. I probably at that time thought he was a decent actor, and right. I'm like, I don't think he's great. And now it's definitely gone from decent actor to average.
I've never
actor.
Heard people like saying he's this amazing actor. I think right. he makes good movies, people
Correct.
Have said. But I've never heard anyone making an argument for him as like some elite actor.
Right. You've never heard that. Undeniable screen presence. His movies make a ton of money. No doubt about it. Very right. charismatic. He's 5'5", whatever. He's great. As I pointed out, though, he's had some work done. My buddy Dallin Cuff texted me. He's like, had some work done. He goes, his hair is jet black. His face is tighter than a bow and arrow. I'm like, well, that is well said. He definitely has had some work done. But my description of hair of Tom Cruise made me think of Harrison Ford. He's got great screen presence. He's charismatic. He's no doubt he's a big star. He's worked with some A-list directors. But I got to be honest with you. If you said to me, is Harrison Ford a great actor? Right. Is it a great performance? I think it's great performance.
It's a good comp. It is a good comp.
Right? Because think about it. Han Solo, I just think, is a great character. Now, not everybody could do it. I understand that. And when I think of Han Solo, I think of Harrison Ford. But I just think that's a great role. You're the wise ass who's in love with Leia, and you're kind of like the cool, cocky guy, and you got Chewie next to you. Like, he's got all the great one-liners. Like, that's a great role. Indiana Jones, that's a great role.
What, see, if you have multiple of those roles, though, at what point do you become a great actor? Like, the whole...
I think above two, yeah. which okay. I think he's only got two. I think it's Han Solo, and I think it's Indiana Jones.
Is it Han? Like, if you had to pick one, if I made you, like, for this game's sake, like, he's more of Han. He's known.
When Harrison Ford dies, is it going to say Han Solo or
what team will he go to the Hall of Fame with?
Basically, it's Jersey. I think it's Han Solo. I think Star Wars
yeah,
is massive.
Just a bigger franchise.
Like, Indiana Jones is big. They've had four of them. I think there's a new one being coming.
There
out
is.
Next
I looked at his IMDb. There's a post production Indiana Jones 5.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt it's an iconic role. But again, he's worked with Lucas and Star Wars, Spielberg with this, producing it as well. I just think ultimately Harrison Ford, I'm not saying he's a bad actor, but if it's a great role or great actor, I'm going great role. Yeah. And he's made some turkeys along the way. Regarding Henry's one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Like, if you want a really bad movie, go use the Just Watch app. If you're going to try to tell me Harrison Ford's a good actor, you have to go watch Regarding Henry. If you can watch Regarding Henry and
Let's
tell me you liked
at.
It, then I'll put it down. Check out the Just Watch app. That's our latest when it comes to great role or great actor. Harrison Ford, I'm going great role. He has had two iconic roles, but I don't think he's a great actor.
Regarding Henry is on Stars. If you subscribe to Stars, and you can pay for it on Apple TV.
God, please don't pay for an Apple TV. You're going to regret it. Thanks, as always, to Chris Cody. We're still waiting for Miles Teller. It's like the Samuel Beckett play, waiting for Godot, waiting for Teller. Maybe we'll get him next week. I do actually know we have a guest next week. We're going to talk about the new Colin Kaepernick documentary, which is coming out of Tribeca. So that's going to be a good interview. Next week, I believe, yes, the latest Jurassic Park movie is coming out this weekend. So next week, we're talking dinosaurs, we're talking Kaepernick, and hoping Miles Teller at some point as well. Avoid draft day, and until then, I'll see you at the movies.